Hello. Due to internet issues that we experienced this past Sunday at church, we're recording the Sunday school lesson to post on our website. Even though I mentioned recording the Sunday message also and posting it, I'm rethinking that decision and may just save it for this Sunday's presentation. So please check your emails for further updates. God bless you. The Sunday school lesson for September the 13th was God Rewards Obedience. And the background scripture, Genesis chapter 41. However, the printed text was Genesis chapter 41, verses 25 through 33, and verses 37 through 40, and then verses 50 through 52. And getting started with our lesson, let's look into some background and using the life of Joseph to establish it. Joseph was the son of Jacob, who's also known as Israel. Now, Joseph may have been very young when Jacob left Laban. So let me explain that real quick. Jacob spent 20 years with his uncle Laban. And so after leaving Laban, Joseph is probably a very, very young boy. There were 11 children born to Jacob, 10 boys and one girl, before Joseph was born. Now, after leaving Laban, and Jacob returns back to the land of his father. During that period, Joseph's mother, who is Rachel, she's pregnant. However, she dies in giving birth to Benjamin. One of the issues here is that Jacob loved Rachel. So now Jacob is left with two boys and no longer have his wife to help raise those two boys, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, in continuing in the timeline of Joseph, we find out that Joseph had some dreams. Now, Israel slash Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children. And in the process of showing that love, we had a Sunday school lesson where we found out that Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. And we had that Sunday school lesson, so I can't dive into that right now. However, the outcome of loving him more than his brothers then began to hate Joseph vehemently. Now, in the midst of all of that hate from his brethren, Joseph has a couple of dreams, and he relays one dream to his brothers. And in that dream, the basic premise behind it is that his brothers one day would eventually bow down to him as if out of worship. Now, naturally, this dream upset and made his brothers mad, not more angry on top of the coat that his father had given him. Then he has a second dream, talking about Joseph. And in that second dream, the dream shows that his father and mothers and brothers all bow down to him. Now, when his father, Jacob, hears this, he's a little upset with him, too. It's like, son, how are you going to sit up here and then tell me, I'm your dad, that I'm going to end up bowing down to you? However, Jacob also understands and know how God works. And so he ponders it, even though he's upset with Joseph, but he ponders the dream. Scripture lets us know that. And so as we continue in the life of Joseph, we find out that the father had sent his sons out to take care of all of the herds, and he kept Joseph back, but then he sends Joseph to go check up on them. And in checking up on him, Joseph is naturally wearing his coat of many colors, and his brothers see him coming, and their hatred builds up again in them. So in the process of this, a couple of things take place. Some wanted to kill them. Others decided to save his life, so that ultimately end up throwing him into a cistern or a pit. Now, the cistern is what gathered water, and the cistern was dry in terms of the pit that they threw him into. So instead of killing him, his brothers decide to sell him into slavery. So they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Now, once Joseph arrives in Egypt, the Ishmaelites then turns around and sells him to Potiphar. Now, Potiphar is an officer of Pharaoh's court. And so now he is a slave in Potiphar's house. Now, let's look at what happened between Joseph and Potiphar. The beauty behind what was going on in Joseph's life, he kept memory, kept understanding, kept the knowledge, and kept worshiping the God of his fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And in the process of that continued worship and love for God, the Lord was with Joseph while he was enslaved as a slave for Potiphar. Now, because the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. So what's going on here now? Potiphar is now seeing that his house is being blessed bountifully because of the presence of Joseph and Joseph worshiping his God. And so Potiphar begins to hand more and more responsibilities for the running of his house over to Joseph. Well, that leads to some more issues. Joseph is now accused of some wrongdoing. Well, what happens? Well, what happens is this. Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of attempted rape. Now, what really went down here is she was trying to get Joseph to sleep with her, and Joseph kept fending her off. And in this one occasion, in fending her off, Joseph ended up leaving the top of his coat or his robe or whatever he was wearing in her hands. And so when Potiphar returns, his wife accuses Joseph of attempted rape. Potiphar now, not sure whether we know he believes it or not, but he understands he has to do something because of the accusation that was levied against Joseph by his wife. So Potiphar, instead of having him put to death, Potiphar puts him in prison. So now Joseph, slave in Egypt, leaves Potiphar's house as a servant and now winds up in prison. Now here's the beauty of worshiping God and sticking with God through all of your issues, your problems, and the travails you may be going through. The Lord again was with Joseph while he was in prison. And in terms of that love, he gave him favor in prison. Now, what does all that mean? Well, that means you could be in prison, you can be in jail, and if God is still with you and you're still worshiping, praising God, just like he did with Joseph, he may in turn do the same for you. The captain now in jail realizes and sees the favor that God has placed on Joseph, and now gives Joseph charge of all the prison duties. And because of this, Joseph now, even though in prison, now has the run of the prison by being in charge of all prison duties. Now he's still in prison. He don't want to be in jail, don't want to be in prison, but God is making life a little easier for him while he is. Now, in prison, what happens? Well, Joseph now interprets some dreams. So Pharaoh now imprisons his chief of butlers and the chief of bakers and sends them to the prison where Joseph is now in charge of prison duties. So these two show up in jail, and while they're there, they both have dreams. Now, what happens? Well, after Joseph realizes that these two are having issues because of their dreams and not being able to interpret the meaning of their dreams, Joseph asked them to relay the dreams to him because the God that he serves may be in position to interpret the dreams for them. And that's exactly what happens. God, through Joseph, interprets the dreams of the chief butler and of the chief baker. And what happens? Well, the dreams of both become reality. And so, not going into detail of those dreams, you can read them. I believe it's in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. So even though the dreams become reality, some things take place. Joseph had asked that the chief butler, when he returns back to Pharaoh to remember him so that he can possibly have the opportunity to get out of prison. Even though prison life was what it was, he was still in prison. So what happens next in the life of Joseph? Well, what happens next is this. Pharaoh now has a couple of dreams. The first dream of Pharaoh is this. 7 fat and healthy cows come out of the Nile River and feed on the banks. Then, following right behind them, 7 malnourished cows come out of the Nile River. Now, these malnourished cows turns around and eats the 7 healthy cows and still maintain malnourishment. After that dream, Pharaoh wakes up. And in his awakening, the dream is now beginning to bother him. So when he goes back to sleep, he has the second dream. And the second dream is this. 7 ears of corn, full and plump, was on a stalk, just luscious, ready to be plucked and eaten. Then 7 additional ears of corn are on a stalk, but these 7 ears of corn are thin and empty of fruit. 7 plump ears of corn on a stalk, and you have 7 thin, empty ears of corn with no fruit on a stalk. And what happens? Well, the 7 thin ears of corn eats the 7 full and plump ears of corn. And when that happened, Pharaoh awakes again, and he awakes again with a troubled spirit. And because he has this troubled spirit, he gets up and seeks interpretation of his dreams. So he sends for his magicians, he sends for his wise men, he sends for his sorcerers, and tries to get all of these guys to interpret the dreams that he had. However, none of them could. And again, this disturbs Pharaoh. But in the process of trying to find some interpretation for his dreams, the chief butler hears of this, and he suggests that Joseph, the same one who interpreted his dreams when he was in prison, suggests to Pharaoh that Joseph may be able to interpret the Pharaoh's dreams. So, hearing this, Pharaoh now sends for Joseph. And Joseph now cleans himself up and comes to the court of the Pharaoh, and now Pharaoh has an audience with him. So Pharaoh now relays the dreams, both of them, to Joseph. And Joseph replies that only God can interpret dreams. So that's the first thing he lets Pharaoh know. He lets him know that he's not interpreting these dreams. He is telling Pharaoh that his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God, the God of heaven and earth, is the one who can interpret dreams. And there's a good point here, because Egypt was full of different deities. So having deities and deities coming to the forefront for Pharaoh was nothing new. And so by Joseph now telling him that his God, and then naming his God as to who he is, the God of heaven and the God of earth and the creator of such and the creator of everything, he now allows Joseph to continue with the process of trying to get his dreams interpreted. So now Pharaoh responds, and this is where we pick up today's Sunday school lesson. So what do you mean? Well, all of that other stuff that we just relayed to you was background. So today's lesson starts here. Joseph now responds to Pharaoh and tells Pharaoh that both of his dreams mean the same thing. So he has 2 dreams, but both dreams contain the same meaning or the same outcome. So he lets Pharaoh know that what God is doing in the life of Pharaoh in Egypt is this. He is telling Pharaoh in advance, God is, what he is about to do in the land of Egypt and the surrounding areas around Egypt. So what is he going to do? Well, he's going to do this, and he's using the dream to to let him know. He tells him, Joseph does, tells Pharaoh, based on what God tells him, the interpretation is, the seven healthy cows and the seven plump corn ears represent 7 years of enormous plenty. Now, what that means is he's not just going to have regular crops and regular harvests and the regular harvest that he normally would have, that he has been having. He's going to have 7 years of enormous plenty. In fact, he's going to have so much plentifulness in these 7 years of plenty that the nation of Egypt is going to overflow with bounty during these 7 years. Then Joseph relates the rest of the dream in interpretation. He tells him that the seven malnourished cows and the seven thin, empty ears represent 7 years of famine. And not just any famine, it's going to be a severe famine. And if we keep reading scripture, we find out how severe and how plentiful. Scripture tells us, some more of the verses says, the 7 years of great prosperity, and then the 7 years of severe famine. And he says that these 7 years of severe famine was so severe, or will be so severe, that the prosperous 7 years will actually be forgotten. Things will be so bad that they'll forget about the 7 years of plenty. And then he says the two dreams and the reason for having two dreams and the reason why God gives Pharaoh two dreams is because God wants to bring definite impact of understanding for Pharaoh, and that these dreams were soon to occur and come to fruition. He wants Pharaoh to know, God does, that it is God that's given him these dreams, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph, who's interpreting these dreams. He wants Pharaoh to know who he is, and he also wants Pharaoh to know the impact and an understanding of what he's going to do. And so Pharaoh now must understand that it is Joseph's God that's going to bring all of this to bear. So, in the process of interpreting these dreams, God also gives Joseph a solution to give to Pharaoh. So Joseph provides Pharaoh with a solution. And what Joseph tells Pharaoh to do is this. It's like, Pharaoh, find a discreet and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And along with finding this discreet and wise man, Joseph also gives Pharaoh a project plan in terms of what to do and how to do it for the next 14 years. Now look at what's going on. And let's back up just a little bit before we continue. In our summary earlier, we find out that the brothers of Joseph hate him so much for a number of reasons. One, the father's overly love for Joseph set them apart from him. So that upset the brothers. Then Joseph have these dreams where the brothers and father and moms would end up worshiping Joseph, and that upsets the brothers. So now you have brothers and family members all upset with Joseph to the point to where they want Joseph dead, at least the brothers do. But instead of killing them, they decide to sell him off and send him to Egypt. I forgot to mention one part in that summary. What they did is they took his coat of many colors, ripped it to shreds, poured blood on it, and took it back to his dad, to Jacob, and announced to Jacob that some wild beast had killed Joseph, ran off with his body, and all they found left was his shredded, torn up coat of many colors. And now Jacob's heart was devastated, and no one in his family could console him. He lost his first son from Rachel, who he loved, And now the only son of Rachel that was left was Benjamin. And so he personally took care of Benjamin and wouldn't literally allow Benjamin potentially out of his sights. And so that's all in play at the same time right now. So now what we have is Joseph providing Pharaoh with a solution to his two dreams. Find a discreet and wise man and set this wise man over all the land of Egypt, meaning giving him control to do things, to literally save Egypt during the years of plentiful, find a way to provide solutions for the time when the 7 years of famine show up. And that was part of the project plan, verses that weren't in today's Sunday school lesson, but I'll give that to you. He gives Pharaoh a project plan on what to do during these 14 years. And Pharaoh now, he loves this idea. He just thinks it's great and wonderful. And so he embraces the idea. He embraces his project plan. So what happens next is this. Joseph now is promoted. Well, how does that promotion take place? Well, Pharaoh sees the Spirit of God, the same God that Joseph has now been promoting in the face of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh sees the Spirit of God in Joseph. And because he sees this, Pharaoh now selects Joseph to be the very discreet and wise man to head up the endeavor that Joseph gave him as far as what should occur in the next 14 years. And what exactly is that? Well, scripture takes a pause real quick and tell us how old Joseph is. We find out that now Joseph is 30 years old. And Joseph, the Hebrew now, let me say that again, 30 years old, Joseph, the Hebrew, in the land of Egypt with Egyptians. 30-year-old Joseph, the Hebrew, is promoted to second ruler in all of Egypt. Now, let's look at that. Here we have the 30-year-old Hebrew who shows up as a slave in the country of Egypt, nation of Egypt, and now this Hebrew slave is now in one day promoted to second ruler in all of Egypt. And only Pharaoh alone has rule over Joseph. Let me say that again. Joseph is promoted to second ruler in all of Egypt, and only Pharaoh alone is over Joseph, as far as rule is concerned. So what does scripture tell us about this rule? Well, scripture tells us a number of things. Tells us one, Joseph gets Pharaoh's ring. Pharaoh takes his ring off and hands it to Joseph. What else does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh gives Joseph a new coat. Now, I'm throwing this part in, probably a new coat of many colors. But think about the vestige that Pharaoh gives Joseph. And the point behind this new coat tells everyone who he is and what type of rule he has. He has Pharaoh's ring. That tells him what type of rule Joseph will have. The new coat speaks to the rule that Joseph will have in all of Egypt. Then Pharaoh gives Joseph a special gold chain to wear. Now, he gets a ring, he gets a new coat, he gets this new gold chain, and all of these point to the rule that Joseph will have in all of Egypt. Hey, Pharaoh's not through. Pharaoh also gives Joseph the second chariot of prominence. Let me explain what that means. The second chariot of prominence means this. If anyone viewed the chariots of Pharaoh coming down the street, coming down the fairway, coming down the avenue, however you want to call it, once they see Pharaoh coming or his chariots of prominence coming, The people viewing this must stop and bow as he passes. So not only do they stop and bow for the Pharaoh's chariot, now this second chariot of promise, which now belongs to Joseph, the folks in Egypt will have to stop and bow to Joseph in this chariot when he also passes everyone in Egypt. So now Joseph is ruler over all of Egypt, and Pharaoh's not through. He also, Pharaoh, has given Joseph his personal guarantee that no one in Egypt, absolutely no one in Egypt, can come against Joseph. So look at all that has taken place. Well, guess what? We're not through with what Pharaoh does for Joseph. Next thing that Pharaoh does for Joseph, he changes Joseph's name and gives him an Egyptian name. And the name that he gives him is Zephanath-Paaneah. He gives them the Egyptian name of Zephanath-Paaneah. And then on top of changing his name, he gives Joseph a wife, not just any wife. He gives him the daughter of the priest of On. Now, I don't know how much prominence the priests of On have, but I'm pretty sure all of the priests that was in the court of Pharaoh had established themselves as being members of the royal court of Pharaoh. And by Pharaoh now telling and taking the daughter of the priest of On and presenting Joseph with her as his wife was another point of power for Joseph and a point of presence of Joseph's rule in Egypt. So what do we have going on right here and now in our lesson? We see how God has now taken this Hebrew boy who was a slave after being hated by his brothers, after being sold to Egypt in servitude, after being mistreated by Potiphar and Potiphar's wife lying on him. He is now second ruler in all of Egypt. Now, I want to get back to this bowing down for a quick second. What do you think Potiphar and his wife had to do when Joseph rode past their house? I'm being a little facetious, but Potiphar and his wife had to come out of the house and see the chariot roll right by the house, and both of them had to bow to the Hebrew slave that used to serve in their house. I'm just saying, what a mighty God. God can take you from slave to second in charge. And he did this. Now, I don't want to minimize some things because we need to understand a few things before I continue to the end of today's lesson. The time that Joseph arrived in Egypt, we believe he was about 17 years old, to the time where he's second in charge at the age of 30. Joseph caught all kinds of, and I'm going to say it this way, he caught all kinds of hell. And I don't know about you, but I know I wouldn't want to be a slave. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be thrown in jail. No matter how good you might think he may have had it and the like, he is still a servant and a slave in a country that he was sold to. And the thing that I like to point about this all the time is this. There are times that we have to go through problems, issues, and circumstances in our life. And when and if we do, we have to realize that if we go through them and we keep God and worship God and serve God while we go through these things, God is there with us. And by God being there with us, God can do a few things to make life in the midst of all of this hell a heck of a lot better. And I like the way it was put in Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, there's a phrase or a statement in there in one of the verses that God himself served him, David, in the presence of his enemy. He prepared a table for David in the presence of his enemies. Look at what's happening here in that verse. Here it is. David's got all of his enemies all around him. God puts all of that on hold, puts it all in check, and prepares a God table for David right in the presence of his enemies. So David now has the opportunity to enjoy his God while all of his enemies look on. And that type of scenario is what's happening here to Joseph while he was in Egypt, going through all of this hell prior to being placed second in charge of all of Egypt. Scripture continues now as we move to the close of the Sunday school lesson. We find out that after he was married, sons were born to Joseph. And look at what Joseph does with the sons that was born to him from his wife, who was an Egyptian. Ah, that goes back to that Gentile presence in the life of all of the people of God in Hebrews, in terms of that mix that comes through all of that nation. So sons were born to Joseph. Two sons, specifically, that we want to mention, was born to Joseph before the years of famine began. Now listen, in the midst of the 7 years of plenty, Joseph now has two sons. So what does Joseph do? He gives each of these two boys a special name. The first name that he gives the firstborn is Manasseh. Now, the name Manasseh has this meaning. For God, he said, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Meaning, while Joseph was now a slave in Egypt and going through all of the hell he had to go through, just by calling his son's name, Manasseh, come here. He is now saying, Manasseh, because God has now allowed me to forget all the hell I went through and all the hell I went through with my father's house, at my father's house because of my brothers and the like, God has blessed me immensely in Egypt. And these blessings now have made me forget all about the stuff I went through. And then he gives his second son a special name. And the second son is named Ephraim. And Ephraim means, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Look at what God does, and look what he's doing in the life of Joseph, and look at the message he's giving you and I. Going through toil and tribulation, going through all of that, God can and will, if we continue to keep our faith and trust in God and obey his commandments through our Lord Jesus Christ, he can give you a Manasseh and he can give you an Ephraim. Somebody say, praise God for a Manasseh, praise God for an Ephraim in my life. And I leave you with the closing statement as we close out our Sunday school lesson. Thank God for the Manassehs in your life if you continue to praise, honor, trust, and obey him. And you thank God for the Ephraim in your life, for he's going to be fruitful in the midst of your affliction. God bless you. God keep you as we now move to the close of this Sunday school lesson. Let's close it out in prayer. Right now, God the Father, God, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you, we praise you, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and present the Sunday school lesson. Even though we weren't able to do it Sunday, you allowed the opportunity for us to present it and go ahead and post it to allow anyone from our church and anyone else to come in and bless and be blessed with the Sunday school lesson. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart have been acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our redeemer. And we present this prayer in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we now say amen and God bless you as we go ahead and close out this lesson. Thank you and God bless.